day four. This is one of the particularly confusing days, but it's also one of the very important ones, including some of the things we'll study today, but really because of issues perhaps we'll get to in the future, in retrospect, the issues of trying to understand the timing, the dating of how long creation took. So obviously when you're dealing with issues of time and issues of light and the sun and the moon become very relevant. As you're familiar, that is what is studied today. That was created on day four, and that's what we will hope to study today. So let's do a review of these few psukim that describe the creation process on day four. And then, as we have done typically, we'll go back and we'll isolate a handful of specific issues, which I think are worthy of some more in-depth research in the course of the description of the creation of the day. So where does day four start? Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayomer Elokim, God said, Yehi Ma'oros B'Rakia HaShemayim. There should be lights, luminaries, in the Rakia, in the heavens. Lahavil Bein Hayom U'Bein Halayla. Through those luminaries, we will be able to distinguish between the day and the night. Furthermore, V'Hoyu L'Osos, there will be for signs. Not clear what signs that means. Ula Moadim. What does Moadim mean? How do you translate Ula Moadim?
Times.
So we have periods, we have time, what else?
Seasons.
Festivals and seasons. Baruch Hashem, all three opinions in the Rishonim were elicited from this sharp group. Rashi says holidays. You look a quick look at Rashi on that word, Moadim. What does Rashi say? Ula Moadim. Al Shem Ha'asid. This pasuk is this part. This phrase is not really relevant for creation. There's nothing going on then yet. But Atidim Yisrael Istavos Al Hamoados Behem Nimnim Lamola Halavana. Eventually, there'll be a Jewish people. Eventually, they'll celebrate holidays, and the determination of those holidays, the calendar year, will be based on these luminaries, specifically the moon. So that's Rashi says that. However, there's a discussion, the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra weigh in, and you can understand why the Rashi is vulnerable, because what does that got to do with, why should that be told to us today, in the fourth day, when that's not relevant for thousands of years? And therefore, they suggest one of two alternatives. One suggestion, one was the seasons, right? The summer, the spring, the winter, or the fall. And what was the other thing that you suggested?
Time.
General basic periods of time. Okay, more or less. But it's interesting to note that this Moadim is subject to a variety of interpretations. Ula Yamim, these sun and the moon will be for the determination of the days. Vishanim, and the evaluation, the determination of the years. Bahayu, the Mar'os Ha'aruki Barakia. And they shall be for lights, Ma'oros, Barakia, and this firmament, Hashemayim, in the heavens, L'hoir al ha'aretz v'yihichein, to give light to the world. And so it was so. The Ramban points out that this pasuk is important, because all of the different functions that were mentioned in the previous pasuk, that somehow this will be the determination of days, and in theory, he says, that could be, it's hard for us to imagine, but the Ramban says that could have been in theory without it being visible to us. Or they could have served some cosmic purpose, these Ma'oros, these constellations, these luminaries, without necessarily having their benefit felt here. Or others suggest that perhaps what this pasuk is adding is even if the light was visible, and that was already described in the previous pasuk, perhaps the source of heat that the sun is only became relevant as the Torah describes it here in this additional phrase, by Yichain, and it was so, this is in fact what occurred. The or is the product of the Moros. Oh, you mean go back to day two?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's going to be the whole theme of the shiur.
No, we should have product.
That's what's going to be the theory of the shiur. Okay, you look at the title of the shiur. Let there be light. It's clever, at least for me. I consider it clever. I laugh. Let There Be Light was the topic, that was the title I gave to the shiur when we discussed Vayor, day two. So now it's take two, because this is going to be repeated. And you'll remember that we discussed then, how could there be light in day two when there's no sun and there's no moon? So we're going to get to that hope tonight. Back to the pasuk, a few more pasukim until we finish the day. Vayas, Elokim, Eshneham, Aros, as we have seen with previous days, first the Torah tells us what God's plan is, and then it tells us that God did it, in fact, He achieved it. Vayas, Elokim, God in fact did it, Eshneham, Aros, He made these two great lights, Hagadolim, these two great lights, Eshamor, Hagadol, Lememshelas Hayom, the greater light, presumably you have to translate, although we'll see if we have time at the end of the shiur. Obviously there's a little bit of difficulty in this pasuk, that the one that controls the daytime, Eshamor, Hakaton, the small one, smaller one, Lemshelas Halayla, to control or be a dominion over the nighttime, the Esakofavim, and the stars. Again, just to be clear, there's an obvious problem when you read this pasuk. Right? What's the obvious problem? I just hinted at it. What's the obvious problem? First, the Torah introduces both of these great luminaries as
great.
And then it says, well, one was great and one was small. So what does that mean? It seems a bit... So that's where the Mefarshim will discuss what that means. Is there a problem? Is there not a problem? But at least needs to be understood. Yud Zayin, Yiten Asam Elokim Barakia Hashamayim, and God put these luminaries in the heavens, L'hoir Ala Aretz, in order to give light to the earth. Finally, V'limshol Bayom Uvalayla, to dominate by day and by night. They're the ones in control of the day and the night. U'lahavdil Bein Ha'or Bein Choshech, similarly, they are now the sources that distinguish between light and dark. A lot of things are going on today. It's an important day. Yara Elokim Kitov, and in fact God saw that everything He had done was good. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker, Yom Revi'i. And of course, this phrase, which is not a new one to us, but it takes on added significance because now we really have everything set in place for there to be a meaningful day and night. In fact, it begs the question of how, in what sense was there Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker before this, when there was no sun and moon. Okay, this is essentially the great accomplishment of day four. And we will see that given how abstract some of the things are, we're still talking about the Rakia, which we know is very mysterious, and the sun and the moon and in the heavens. You know, the more distant these things are away from us literally, the more distant sometimes these things can be for us in terms of our own apprehension. But I do think that there are a number of things which we can try to understand and tease out and are really worthy of a more sensitive and careful reading. And the basic issue which I want to start this year with is the question of the relationship between day four and day one. We learned weeks ago, we studied it, all the implications therein. On day one, there was already light. So what is all of a sudden the big deal about what is being accomplished here on day four, which to the best of my own little superficial recollection here, I think it's the longest of the days in terms of the psukim. There's a lot being discussed. It seems that the Torah is making a very big deal about it, and yet it's not clear the relationship between these. Didn't we already have light? So if we'll look, this we will see is a underlying issue that animates a discussion of many of the Mefarshim. And much of the discussion is centered around comments of Chazal and the Mefarshim on Pasuk Yud Dalet. So let's turn back to Pasuk Yud Dalet. Let's read it again. Yomer Elokim, God had said, Yihi Ma'oros V'Rakia Hashemayim, there shall be these great luminaries in the heavens, which will serve what purpose? Havil Ben Hayom Ben Halayla, day and night, L'Osos, signs, L'Moadim, seasons or holidays, L'Yamim U'Lashanim, days and years. Sources of light. And in theory, you could use it to refer to anything that gives off light. I believe so. So look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yedalad, right in the beginning. Miyom Rishon, Nivru. These were already created on the first day. So what is all of a sudden the big deal? What happened now on the fourth day? They weren't created. They were already created on day one. Said Vayihi Or, obviously these were already on day one. Uba Revi'i, but it was only on the fourth day, Siva Aleihem, that God commanded to them or about them, Litzlos Barakia, that they should be suspended in the sky. So where were they before this? I don't know. They were somewhere even higher up. The point was, certainly, let's put this in the most meaningful sense for us, they wouldn't have been visible from the earth. Where exactly that is, I don't know. But their current station, where they're suspended, someone want to tell me how far away is the sun? 93 million miles. I'm going to trust you. How far away is the moon?
A couple hundred thousand miles.
Ah, a short trip.
It is.
Ah, 100,000 miles, no bet. My car is eventually going to get there. Okay. Says the Rashi, it was already created, they're just hung there. Where did Rashi get this from? He got it from a Gemara. Look at your sheet. Stop here, we're going to get back to Rashi in a second. Let's just pause for a moment. Look at the Gemara Masechta Chagiga. See where this comes from. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Asarad Barim Nivru B'Yom Rishon. Actually, 10 things were created on the first day. Everyone have it? Top of the page. Top of the page, first source. Eloi, what were the 10? Count with me. Shamayim Va'aretz. How many is that?
True.
Tohu Vavohu. We don't exactly know what either of those were, but the Gemara counts them as two separate entities. Or Vachoshech Ruach. Wind, umayim, in the water, midas hayom, umidas halayla, the notion, some fixed unit of time that can be described as day and as night. Because after all, even at the end of the first day, it says v'er v'evoker. So we have 10 things. So then the Gemara asks, is it really true that or that light was created on the first day? But isn't it written, yitin rasam alakim v'rakiyah hashamayim? Didn't we just read that it was only today that God put these in the heavens? Uksiv, and what's the context of that pasuk? Vayevoker Yom Revi'i. So when was light created? Was it created on day one or day four? The Gemara says it's not sure. The Gemara resolves it. Ked Rabbi Elazar. This is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. The Amr Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar say, or Shabara Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Yom Rishon, the light. I don't take it back, I didn't read it wrongly, but we're going to hold off for a second. I'm sorry. Let's skip that for a second. The Gemara says, is quoting at length now an opinion of Rabbi Elazar. We're going to get back to that in a second. However, that's not what Rashi is going on now. The comment that Rashi just made here is based on the last line of this Gemara here, where I have it underlined, V'chachamim amrim, the rabbi said, what's going on, how do you resolve this contradiction? Hein hein ma'oros, shenivru b'yom rishon. These luminaries were in fact created on the first day. Lo nitlu adyom ha'revi'i. But they were not suspended in their permanent place in the sky, 98 million and a few hundred thousand miles away, respectively, 93 million, respectively, until day four. So this is where Rashi got that idea from, and again, the Gemara itself is sensitive to what we should have ourselves been sensitive to, the inherent contrast conflict would have appeared in the Chumash about when light was created.
It's different light.
Yes. That Choshech is not an absence of light. Choshech, at least the biblical Choshech, was a creation in itself. I hear. I don't know. Do you have an answer?
Not yet,
Harry.
What's your question?
Harry, that's from Tfila, right? Harry, that you're expert. You're an expert in Tfila.
I know.
I saw my background. Okay. So now let's go back for a second to Rashi. Let's go back to Rashi now.
Did the Ma'oros include all the stars or just the sun?
No, the Ma'oros are those two. The Kochavim are mentioned separately. Kochavim are mentioned separately. So then, go back to Rashi. Rashi expands on this idea. So he just told us that really the sun and the moon were created on day one, but they weren't placed in their permanent position until day four. V'chein, says Rashi. Everyone have that? V'chein? Similarly, back in the Rashi on Pasuk Gedala, just a few words in. Kol todo shamayim v'aretz. It's not just the sun and the moon. All of the things that were generated from shamayim v'aretz, from heaven and earth, nivru b'yom rishon. They were all created on the first day. You understand? It's an unbelievable Rashi. It was all created on the first day. V'chol echad ve'echad nikva. And each and every one of them were subsequently fixed in their permanent position for Yom Shenigzar Alav, on a subsequent day, which was decreed for it to then take its final purpose. Hu Shehakasov, and this is what is meant when it's written, Eis HaShamayim, the word, the Shamayim is written with the before with the prefix of Eis, the word Eis. Larabos, what's the Eis for? What do we need that for? Larabos Odoseim, and it even includes that which is generated, so to speak, from Shamayim. The Es Haaretz, why do we have Es Haaretz? The Rabos Toldos Seha, to include all of those Toldos as well. This notion that Rashi is now teaching us, that it could very well be that in some form, everything was created on day one, and everything we read about subsequently is the, so to speak, finishing up, but it's like wrapping the package and putting the bow on top, that happened in subsequent days. This is a notion which Rashi borrows, really, or is inspired by, from a different medrash. If you look at the second source on your sheet, this is a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah, it's a debate. These two rabbis have a debate, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vayechulu Hashamayim V'Haaretz, Bizmanon. Each, when it says at the end of the creation story that everything was completed, it means everything was completed in its time, meaning on day one, the light was created. On day two, this was created. On day three, this was created. On day four, the moon. Each thing was created as it's told in its specific time. However, Amar Le Rav Nechemia, Hoksiv Eila Todo Shamayim Oretz Hi Baram, Lamed Shebo Bayom Nivru, Bo Bayom Hotziu Toldos. So he says, well, that Pasuk of Hi Baram seems to include all of creation in one creative act. That implies, says Rav Nechemia, that it was all created at the same time. Amar Lo, but how could you say that? Rabbi Yehuda responds to him. At each time, the Torah seems to delineate the things that were created on a specific day, not all together. So Rabbi Nechemia concludes, you have to understand, what can they be comparable to? And it gives an analogy. It's like someone is picking dates off the tree. Kol echad ve'echad hofia bizmano. In other words, they're all already on the tree, but maybe this one ripens at this point, this one ripens at that point. But they were all created, it's all one tree, that all was created at the same time, and then perhaps they are fixed, they're given their final presentation or final mission subsequently. But originally they were all created at the same time. Furthermore, as Rabbi Brechia says, similarly gives a further analogy on the opinion of Nechemiah, as we had seen this, and we had mentioned this notion last year, right? We spoke about the vegetation on the world, but Totze Ha'aretz, that idea that the vegetation grew from the ground, Dover Shahaya Makud Biadeh. It was already there, it was just a sign to come out. And if you remember, we mentioned at the end of last week's shiur, there was an opinion in Chazal that said that originally all of the vegetation was created, and it went right all the way up to the surface of the earth. It was only on day three that it burst forth through the ground. So similar to that, Rashi, and supported by this medrash, is saying it wasn't just the grass, it was also the moon and the sun. It was all created in an initial, powerful, if you will, big bang, super duper creative moment. It's just that only subsequently were things then given their final form and their final fixed position. Now, the truth is that there are other explanations, without getting into this certainly more midrashic view of it, there are other explanations that Mefarshim suggest as to how to deal with this apparent contradiction between when was light created. Was it on day one or day four? So, for example, if you take a look at the Radak, Radak is more well known for his commentary on Navi. But the truth is, Radak wrote a parish on Chumash. And if you have some of the volumes of Makros Gedolos, like you have the one, the Taras Chaim version from Sadar of Kook, so they have the Radak there on the page. So the Radak says the following. V'ama'oros ha'elu, nivru b'yom rishon, im hal gilgolim, Kamosha Kasavna. There is this tradition, as we've already seen, of the source of light, all of these things already being created on the first day. So what's going on today on day four? Ela Shalohayu Oran Ove La Aretz. This is the same, but with an important nuance. Not that. What's the common ground? That in both cases, the relevant to those of us who will be on Earth, the fact that the sun can now have an impact on the Earth, that took place on day four. So what did Rashi say? Really, it's because they were created, but they were kept somewhere even farther and more removed. They were only dropped down, you imagine like a puppet dropping it down in its fixed position, on day four. The Radak seems to be saying, no. They were always in their current, permanent, fixed position. So why, what all of a sudden changed on day four, if that already happened on day one? Says the Radak, because even though they were where they were, 93 million miles away, you still couldn't see. How come you and I can see it? Because other things had to change. Namely, what did we read about in previous days? God was separating, right, the mind, the al-raki, the rakia, whatever that means. We don't exactly know what the rakia is, the horizon, something above the heavens. So the rakia at the time was too opaque. It was impenetrable. The sun couldn't get through. Furthermore, the earth was not yet formed enough, it wasn't dried enough, such that the sun could make a difference. After those things happened in previous days, then it's like the sun was always there, but it was covered like with a bandage. So in the previous days, we've been removing those bandages. And now on day four, the light of the sun and the moon is now apparent, in theory, if we would be standing in the earth. It's already apparent and appreciable for people who are already or from the location of the earth. So
the problem with the Radak is then you don't need an act of creation.
It's not an independent act of creation on day four. That's correct.
But
that's puzzle, correct.
The puzzle itself seems to imply the opinion by Yiteno Samela Kimber Kiyoshimayim Yara Horetz. You then place them into positions so that they could impact on the earth.
So, good. That's what you read in the puzzle. What puzzle is that?
Puzzle Yuzayin.
Yuzayin. Well, I'll give you another puzzle, which also seems to be interestingly worth commenting on. And this is one the Ramban mentions. Look at the Ramban below, the next source, the Ramban. Rabban also, he seems to be saying along the same lines, but he adds, for the sake of argument, he adds that there's another pasuk that hints to that. Namely, what does he say? Hine, ha'or nivra bayom rishon, the or was already created on day one, umeir b'yisodos. It somehow gave light to the most basic forms of creation. Uka asher na'asa rakia basheni. And then when the horizon, the rakia, whatever the rakia is, when that was created on day two, Hifsik ba'or, it blocked the light. Then the light couldn't get through. Umana oso me heir b'yisodos hatachtonim. The light couldn't get through to the basic foundational elements of creation on the bottom, i.e. the earth that you and I know. So this is an unbelievable thing. Just imagine this for a second. Right? There was light on day one, says Ramban. Then came day two, and this rakia thing was created, and everything went dark. Someone like pulled the plug. Everything went dark. Uka asher nivra es haaretz b'shlishi. And then what we read about last week, when the earth was created on day three, haya b'choshet v'lo or. Tremendous chiddush. Even though he already told us that the sun and the moon were created on day one, and there was light on day one, but day two was a blackout. Day three, earth is created, the waters by Yikavu Hamayim. We studied that last week. Waters recede, the earth is, you know, the land is revealed. All of that, says Ramban, happened in darkness. And only now, Ata Berevi, on the fourth day, Rosak Arash Barcho, Shiyu Berakia, Ma'oros, Magim Or La'aretz. Now God wants that not only are these celestial bodies in the sky somewhere, but they make a difference. Their light will reach the earth. So that is not only how he's understanding our pasuk in the relationship to what happened on day one, but then he adds, and this is really the reasoning behind the next pasuk. Pasuk Tezvav, Berakia Hashemayim, Lahoyer al Aretz. And the Ramban would emphasize and highlight the last three words, Lahoyer al Aretz. Ki or haya lamala min Rakia, Lohayer al Aretz. So the light was somehow being blocked by the Rakia, And then it gets cleared up when whatever creative act takes place on day four, and the light is now making an impact on the scrap.
Yeah, it's interesting that he reads it that way. I would read it differently. It was in Pasuk Tesvav as well, but I would say that they were created initially for the purpose of Lahoir Al Haaretz.
Right.
It was not until the next, the two Pasukim later, Vayiteinu Samelekim, and then he placed them so that they would. In other words, the whole purpose of their creation was to light Lahoir Al Haaretz.
Right. He has, again, I don't know where he got it from, but he has this view, which he'll stick to, and we're going to see when we turn over the page. It causes him to have a subsequent disagreement with Rashi shortly. He has this view, which the Ramban is convinced of, that there was light and then there was a blackout.
Hmm. Hmm. Is the implication that the earth was in place before the sun, or that they were both in place together and then it went through this light out blackout?
I don't know, does he say one way or the other? Which one came first, the Dafka, which one came first?
Well, because it seems to say in the Pasuk, it says what Gene just read, you know, that, was it? He set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. In other words, it seems,
certainly by the time we're up to day four, there already is Earth, because that was, we know, day three.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, whatever the sun, depends on who you ask. If you ask the Ramban, it seems to me that the Ramban says that the sun was just where it always was, mm-hmm. and always is, but it wasn't having any visible impact. It wasn't serving any, it wasn't lighting up the world.
That makes sense.
Again, if you will, I don't mean to be too cute about it, but if you go back to the title of the shiur, according to the Ramban, it really was take two. What is, you know, when we imagine, you know, the guy with the clicker with the thing and the movie producer, right? You do the set once, it doesn't go. Do it again, take two. That's exactly what the Ramban says. There was light, then there was a blackout, and then there had to be light again. Right. So how else would they grow? We need light.
Where are the plants?
You didn't need light. What's the point? And then he adds, just so we can be fully put it all together, assuming we can remember all of this. What was the Ramban, who remembers our second shiur? What was the Ramban's big chiddush? What was the Ramban's famous idea for how the world was created? When the Torah says, the opening pasuk, gracious, bar Elohim, as a shayim, as aretz, what did the Ramban say? What actually happened with Shamayim Aretz, what did the Ramban say? It was right, he quoted that Greek term, namely that there was some super, what I call silly putty type,
right,
or soupy thing, which Ramban says, the potential for all of creation was in that thing,
the primordial soup thing,
exactly what Ramban says, that every subsequent day of creation, that was being formed to take another form, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, etc. So in light of that, this fits in very well. And we don't have to tell the Ramban that. He knows it himself. Look at the next paragraph. Inyan Yehiha Ma'oros, this idea that the Pasuk says that these will be these luminaries, what does that mean? Ki mechomer hashamayim gozer barishon shia or shumirasyom. In that original primordial matter, it was determined that what we're calling or would be associated, would be created and associated with daytime. But Ata, and that already existed from day one. So what's all of a sudden changing? But Ata Gazer, to Yis Gashem, it will solidify. Right? Imagine, I don't know, what's a good, it's like, I don't know if there's any better muscle, right? If, you know, you put soup, leftover chicken soup in the fridge, and when you take it out, it doesn't look as appealing. But it's floating on top.
I have it on my page.
It solidifies a little bit, it congeals.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The word.
Or if we wanted to be more, I don't know, we could talk about a very epic delicacy in my family, fish doza. You know what this is? Are you Hamish?
What's that, fish what?
The fish doza.
Yeah, sure.
Right, you put it in the fridge.
I can see it.
It only what? Oh, well, I get something we didn't get to my generation. We eat the gefilte fish, but the zoza stays with the generation before and the generation before that. The point is, Two generations. Okay. Well, my mother. This is the machlokas of my mother and my father. Right, which is good, because that way we give it all to my mother. No one else wants it. The bottom line is, the Ramban is describing something similar, that there was in this more primordial, soupish stuff already the power for light. That already existed. What changes, and therefore I guess what allows it to then penetrate through the Rakia and become relevant to people on earth, it becomes Yitzgashem. It takes a form. It congeals. It takes some kind of a form. V'yishaveh mimenu guf meir. It becomes an actual physical body that produces light. Bayom gadol ha'ora. In the daytime, this great light. Guf acher, in another physical form, katon ha'ora meir balayla. A smaller body which will provide some source of light in the nighttime. Yilushmeyam berakia, etc. So this is the Ramban. Again, very complicated stuff. I'm not making this hard. It is hard. This Ramban is saying, if you put it all together, that yes, something was created on day one. It was this primordial whatever. And even on day one already, there was some part of it that was designated to be something called light and associated with day, and something called a little bit less light and associated with nighttime. And what you asked before, what's the creative act of day four? Says the Ramban, it takes now on a physical characteristic. So when we said, according to Rashi, well, the moon and the sun already created on day one, but then they got dropped and hung exactly where we see them. Not exactly true according to the Ramban. What had to happen now? Because they didn't exist in their physical form before this. Their physical form only took place on day four. Didn't already say by Yihi Or on day one? The answer is yes, because this primordial soup had already been fashioned partially to create something called Or on day one. But it only took the physical form of the sun and the moon, respectively, on day four. Before I take any questions, because we're going to close this loop, let's just see, because it's always important. I don't want to deflate you, or myself, frankly. But just in case you're a little bit confused, maybe this will not be deflating, but comforting. Look at the Medrash, the last Medrash on the sheet, Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Vav. Yitein Osam Elokim Berakia HaShemayim, right? That these are placed in the heavens. Ketzad, the Midrash asks, Gilgal Chama V'Lavana Shokim Berakia. What does that mean? Basically, the Midrash asks that these are suspended in the heavens. So there's one opinion, which the Med tries to give a whole sort of detailed explanation. This celestial body is hanging here, and this celestial body is hanging there. Amar Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, come on. Ein anu yodim in parchen heim ba'avir. We don't exactly know what that means to say that they're hanging in the sky. Im shapim v'rakia, then the halchen heim kedarkan. We're not astrophysicists, and even if we were, we don't understand everything that's going on. Hadaver kashem o. This is so difficult. V'efshar lebrios la'amod alav. Ultimately, human beings are never going to understand exactly what is going on here. This, if we can make a list, or if you went back to your first sheet the last few weeks, with almost a week, one per week ratio, we've had with a Ramban, I think a few weeks ago, people telling us, again, just reminding us, as much as we're struggling to try to get some level of understanding, we have to realize, and in that sense shouldn't be frustrated when we feel that way, that ultimately creation is going to be a mysterious, hidden process. We've reiterated this numerous times, and again, it's worth noting that the Medrash Dafka on day four reiterates and mentions that point again. Yeah.
Is there any discussion among the Mefarshim about all the impressions we have from what the Torah says is that each luminary is in itself a light?
Right.
Whereas today we know that the moon is not a light at all. It's a reflection
good.
Of the sun.
You'll see that in a moment. Yes, yeah. The answer to your question is yes. Yeah. Right. Even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Mr. Mystical, right? You have to have humility. Certainly when you're talking about creation. Maisa Bereishis. Okay. Let's look now back to another Rashi. Turn back, open up your Chumash again. Now, two Rashis later, what is the Ramasa Lahavdil? What was the purpose? The first thing the Torah tells us, now that we have these celestial bodies, the sun and the moon, what's their purpose? To separate between the day and the night. Lahavdil, Ben Yom, Uvein Alayim. Now here, Rashi takes us back to his own comments on day one, comments which we study. you'll remember, I think it's on Pasuk Dalet, if I'm not mistaken. Rashi there. Pasuk Dalet had said, Vayavdel Elokim ben Or ben Achoshech, that God separated out the day, the light and the dark. That was Pasuk Dalet. And what did Rashi tell us there? Famous comment. We studied this a few weeks ago, that God saw She'enu Kedai L'Ishtamish V'Rashayim, that this light that he had just created on day one was so great, so beautiful, so powerful, he didn't want anyone who was less than worthy to benefit from it, and therefore he hid it, he buried it, he was donated it until La'asad Lovo, until the future redemption, when then he'll pull it out and it'll be as a reward for the great Tzaddikim. That was the Rashi then. I don't want to review everything we said then, but at the time we studied with other subsequent portion. Why did Rashi feel the need to give that midrashic explanation? What was wrong with just reading the pshat of the pasuk? But now, in light of that, in our pasuk, pasuk Yud Dalet, 10 psukim later, Rashi, jumping off his own comment before, says the following: Mishenignas or Harishon. This was true, namely, what was true? That now on day 4, it's saying Lahavdil ben Yom ben Laila, the sun and the moon are the what determine what's day and what's night. That was only true Mishenignas or Harishon, when the original light was hidden. But when was that? So when you and I read Rashi on day on Pasuk Dalet a few weeks ago, when did we think that happened? Then, right? Day one. Now we needed to read this Rashi, or that Rashi, I should say, in light of this Rashi. What does Rashi say? Ava b'shivas yemei habereishis shimsho ha'or v'hachoshech harishonim. No. That hiding away of the light only took place after Sheva Simei HaBereishis, the 7 days of creation. But during the actual 7 days of creation, which we're right smack in the middle of day 4, the world was still being using that original light. Zebayom, the light at the night time, in the daytime, the Zebalila, and the other one, meaning what we're calling the moon, in the nighttime. So what emerges according to Rashi? Ooh, another piece of the puzzle, a little bit tricky, so let's try to understand it together. The Torah tells us this pasuk that the purpose of what was being created on day 4 is to separate between day and night. Lahavdil ben yom ben laila, says Rashi, that's going to be the ultimate purpose of the sun and the moon, but it didn't yet serve that actual purpose day 4. On day 4, it already was given its task. This is your mission, sun and the moon. But it actually didn't start working and accomplishing that mission on day 4. It only started after Shevet Yemei HaBereishis, only after the 7 days of creation. Why? Because it was only then that the original light, the primordial light, was being hidden for these tzaddikim. But until that point, that light was still usable. And therefore, it was that original light that was still operative the whole week. And only subsequently was that light hidden, and this new light, this new form that's being taken, the sun and the moon being dropped down into their permanent places. Now, just as a thought, I didn't see anyone say this, but if you're thinking about it, why does it make sense for Rashi to say, this Medrash, that there was a special light that was so special that God wanted to hide it for Tzaddikim, why does it make more sense, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, for it to have occurred, this hiding away of the light, on day 7 and on day 1?
I think that makes subtle sense, right?
What was the? In theory, as we read it then, it could have made sense, right? God knows that there will be mankind, and mankind will have sinners. But it makes even more sense to say, well, at that point, everything could have worked out perfectly. It was only after Adam and Chava sin that God says, whoa, probably not just going to be Adam and Chava. There's going to be history. And therefore, once I know that the human beings are going to be fallible, you know, this special light that I have going on here, I don't want that to be for anybody but the most righteous. I'm going to hide that, and then but I still need a day and a night. That's how the world's going to run. Oh, that's when I'll plop down these two ma'oros, the sun and the moon. That is what Rashi says. I think if you put it all together, that is Rashi's opinion.
Why can't we just have from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Hay a prologue of creation? As we talked earlier, there's really two discussions of creation. Here's the first 5 psukim, which say in the beginning there was nothing, then he made this, and he made this,
well, then he
and the Chomer, and then on Pasuk Vav, And that's when he begins the actual process of what he does.
Because then we're losing out on day one.
Well, day one was Bara. That was day one, was the Chomer, in which he created all of these things.
Now he's beginning to... That's not Rashi's view.
Right, Rashi
doesn't.
Yeah,
I'm saying why... okay, so you're saying this is right. What we're doing now.
Right, we'll see. That's Rashi. And exactly, because that's just, let's make sure we're on the same page. So Rashi understood the first day to be an actual creation. I don't want to review it now, but we discussed a few weeks ago why Rashi felt the need to have this idea of the hidden light.
Right.
And now we're putting it all together with our sun and our moon today, that even though the sun and the moon are being quote-unquote created on day four, they're actually not operative until after day seven, because the original light is still working, and it's only hidden later. Okay, you're all confused?
Okay.
A little bit, okay. Yeah. Or kosher? You mean on day one when it says the Yarvai Voker? So I don't know.
It's so interesting, Arab.
Maybe it means, so to speak, Lashon Bnei Adam. That's the way we would apprehend it. Or maybe there was some notion of it even then. I don't know.
I read somewhere where Erev, from the word Erev, means mixed up.
Voker
is from clarity. So that night, things that... You know, this is a definition of what Choshech and what...
Maybe. It doesn't mean it the way we usually mean it now. You mean night and day.
Right.
It's more
Erev,
a description of the
light events. You can tell when it gets dark, things get mixed up. You can't see. Voker in the morning, you...
Write this, right. No, these are words that Hashem dictated to Moshe, correct.
Okay, so Moshe is telling us more or less what we should know about...
Well, again, I've made that point more than once. Given this medrash, which we've seen in various forms, that listen, after all is said and done, you're going to struggle through all this, and you're not really going to understand exactly whatever happened. So what's the point of all this? The point of all of this is that apparently there are still lessons for us to learn. So this may be part of that. So, Rashi just told us that the original light was working through the first week of creation. It was only in the second week that the moon and the sun became the operative ones. Now, who's going to tell me why, not only why the Ramban is going to disagree, why the Ramban had to disagree? The Ramban couldn't have accepted what we just said. That the original light was working until day seven, and only afterwards that the sun and the moon became operative. Why the Ramban couldn't say that?
He doesn't have it being creator on day one, right?
Better. Remember, the title of the shir. The last two words. They're very apt for the Ramban. Why? Because, what did the Ramban say happened? There was a... Before that, that's fancy. Before that, don't get so fancy. What did the first thing the Ramban say? There was light fitted on day one, and then what happened on day two?
Then it got hit.
Hold the plug! There was a blackout! Says the Ramban, the original light did not serve the purpose of illuminating the sky and earth for 7 days. Actually, it didn't even make it 2 days. On day two, it already wasn't serving any purpose. To the point, says the Ramban dramatically, that on day three, everything happened in pitch darkness. That is a direct contradiction to what Rashi is now suggesting. So, one thing we know for sure, the Ramban is going to have to disagree with this Rashi also. Right? As this happens in, both in learning and in life, right? That very often we take certain decisions, and then even though we may not have assumed it at the time, but that forces us to make subsequent decisions or to take subsequent actions because things flow from one another. So the Ramban's original disagreement with the Rashi, as if you will, I don't know if it's unintended or intended, but as the consequence of now requiring us to have a second, obviously a lot more than two, but even in the last half an hour, a second machlokes the Ramban is going to have with Rashi. So what does the Ramban say? So first of all, he quotes Rashi, right? He's respectful, he quotes him. And after all, you'll say, but Rashi has a good defender, because Rashi has a chazal, a medrash that says about the or, the light being hidden for the tzaddikim. So the Ramban doesn't deny that. He just wants to co-opt it. Look at the top of the second page. Because of Rashi, Mishnah Gezar Rishon, that the light was hidden. Amy Roes says the Ramban, I'm not impressed with this. She is that Das Rabbi Sein of Maskirim Geniza Alar Rishon. Rashi's take on that medrash says the Ramban, I'm not convinced. I'm not buying. Rather, what does the Ramban say? Havala datam, according to this notion of the light being hidden, Ha'or HaRishon Shimesh Shlosha Yamim. Somehow it existed for 3 days, but apparently it wasn't always visible. Uberavi, and on the fourth day, Natsel Mimenu, it was broken up and it was formed. Nasu Bo Oz Mimenu Shnei Hama'oro Se'ela. These two constellations, these two luminaries, quoting and then another medrash that supports it. And why did that have to happen? Because then we realized that this light was not royally shtamish barhu b'liem soz. This direct light was too much for human beings. It needed to have some intermediary. What was the intermediary? That is our sun and moon. But says the Ramban, that process took place already on day 4. Rashi thinks it doesn't take place until day 8, I guess, or after day 7. The Ramban says it takes place on day 4. So that's another dimension of this debate. The Ramban says not only was there this formation taking place, but when there's this medrash out there that the Ramban is willing to accept, that there was this primordial light that was so beautiful that Hashem wanted to reserve for Tzadikim, that was the light that was coming from this primordial matter. And it did have an actual function. But once God saw that it was too good, I want to save it, so then he formed sun and the moon on day 4 and hid it. Now you have a good question according to the Ramban, which is, what all of a sudden, what's that? What happened on day 4? Why all of a sudden did Hashem realize that? If the Rashi's right, then we know, we just said before, he saw Adam and Chava sinned. So I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know. But the Ramban says that all of a sudden God made a change of plan, if you will, in light of this medrash. The light that he had working from day 1 was too great. He didn't want to keep using it anymore. And therefore, he remodeled, he reformed this matter to take the form of the sun and the moon. And he did it exactly on day 4. Now I want to move on to some other, a little bit more prosaic might not be the right word, but let's just clear our brains for a second. If you didn't follow everything we did, it's okay. We're going to do something new now. New, important, related, but new. Let's get technical for a second, not because I enjoy the technical stuff, but because at least it gives us an opportunity to see one important mafarish, which would also answer Gene's previous question. If you look at Pasuk Yedaled, who's sensitive to diktuk? Simor? You should have been bothered by this. The phrase Yehi Ma'oros. So what is Yehi? Is that singular or plural? Yehi is singular. Ma'oros is plural. Uh-oh. Why the inconsistency? So the truth is, Seymour, it's okay. Look at the Rashbam. So Rashbam says, it's okay, Seymour. Don't feel bad you didn't get bothered by it, because it's not a big deal. Says the Rashbam, no, that's what happens. Derech HaMikros, this is the way Pesukim are. Sometimes we use Lashon Yochid together with Lashon Rabim, vice versa. He even gives an example from Bamidbar. Okay, don't get so hung up on it. But look at the source before that. The Radak. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. We're going to skip the Radak for a second. So now look at the first subsequently. The Rabbeinu Bachai. He's also bothered by the Lashon Yochid and Lashon Rabim, but he gives a different answer, and I think this relates to what Gene mentioned before. Al Derech Hapshat Milas Yehi B'Lashon Yochid. True, it's in singular, Ma'oros is in plural, says the Rabbeinu Bachai. Al Shem Sh'ein Or Shnehem El Echad. Which means what Gene said. Namely, they're not both light-producing bodies. The sun produces light. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Right, so there Rashi has his own explanation for that, which is a little bit drushy, but it could be, I don't think Rabbeinu Bachai makes the point, but it could be understood in light of that. Now, we have a few minutes left. Let's just do one final sources, which is perhaps the most famous comment of Chazal on day 4. Bernie already wanted me to do it last week. And you mentioned this last week? Somebody mentioned this Gemara last week, and I said, we'll do it next week. So maybe it wasn't you, Bernie. I'm just giving you credit. This is a medrash that all of our children are taught. I'll reiterate my pet peeve. When they're taught it, they're not taught that it's medrash. They come home and thinking it's written in Chumash until they become an adult and come to the Shir. They still think it's written in the Chumash. But in fact, it doesn't say anything about the moon and the sun fighting in the Chumash. But there is a very famous comment of Chazal that Rashi quotes. Look at Pasuk Tazayin. Right, moving on toward the end of the day, what is Pasuk Tazayin? What does Rashi say? So what did we say as we read the Pasuk? On the one hand, Vayat Elokim Eshnei HaMa'oros HaGedolim. First, the Pasuk starts off by describing both of these as big luminaries. Then, in the next phrase, the Mor HaGadol and the Mor HaKatan. One is big and one is small. How can you say one is small when you just got through saying that they're both big? If you're just reading the Pasuk literally, you should be bothered by that question. So what does Rashi say? Rashi succinctly paraphrases the Gemara in Masech Lechulin. Famous Rashi. Shavim Nivru. Actually, originally the sun and the moon were created of equal size. In this Ma'ata Halavana, but the moon was reduced in size. Al Shekitriga, because it complained. Amr, and it said to God, Yefshar L'shnei Malachim, Sheishtamshu V'Keser Echad. How can there be two kings of equal power, both having dominion on one earth? On one crown. Therefore, apparently Hashem says, ha, you're right, good point. We'll demote you. You got to be careful when you talk up. Right? The flip side of this is never volunteer for anything. Right? Because then they'll just say, oh, great idea, why don't you do it? Okay, so let's just see, we have a few minutes left. Let's see the Gemara inside, at least part of it, won't see all of it. And then let's see one final comment with the Eben Ezra and the Ramban to see a pshat take on all of this. What does the Gemara say? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rami. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi raised the following contradiction. On the one hand, it says, V'yath Elokim Eshnei Maros HaGadolim, refer to these both luminaries as great. And then after that, it says, Mor HaGadol and Mor HaKatan, one is small, one is big. How could that be? So the Gemara tells us the story. What happened? Amra Yarach Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moon said to God, Rabbonu Shel Olam, Efshar L'Shnei HaMalachim, Sheishtamshu B'Keser Echad. Can two kings have one crown? They can't share a crown. There can only be one leader. There can only be one king. Amar La, God responded to the moon, L'chi u'ma'ati es asmacha. Go and make yourself small. So that's where Rashi ends. But the Gemara is more fun. It's always better to look at the originals. Because if the moon had enough chutzpah to open his mouth to begin with, you think the moon's just going to stop there? Ooh, says the moon. Amar L'chonav. Vonar Shalom! Hol v'amarti l'fonecha davar halkun. Nope. I obviously said something good. You've accepted my rationale. You've accepted my argument. I said something good. Am I as asmi? Yes, I'm going to get punished? Did this ever happen with one of your kids? Right? You know? I'm the one who says it. Now you're going to take it out. You know, you're going to punish me? I'm the one who brought it to your attention. Why should I be the one? If anything, make the song smaller. So God responds, well, you're right. So therefore, I'm going to throw you a bone. What will be the bone? So first God tries, Amr la l'chiyu moshul b'yom u'balayla. Your benefit, right? The sun is not out at all at night. We know, on a clear day, you can see the moon during the day. So you're better than the sun, because you're in the day and the night. Amrilay, the moon is still unimpressed. Ma'ar abusei, what is the big deal? Translation. Shraga patihira mayahane. If you light a candle in a lit room, or you walk around in the middle of 12 o'clock in the afternoon with a candle, does the candle do any good? So good, the moon is out during the daytime, but it doesn't serve any benefits. Amr la, so God responds, Zil Limnu Bachai Yisrael Yami Mashanim. Oh, the Jewish people will have their calendar based on you. Amr la, Yomanami Yefshar Delamani Bey Kufasa. That's for the months, but the seasons, the way the world works, is certainly based on its axis around the sun. So then finally God says, you know, what do you want me to tell you? The best I could do for you is Likro Tzadiki Bishmecha. There will be some tzaddikim in the future who will be known by the same name as you. After all, Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. No, there are certain other tzaddikim who have generations have been known as the Katan. And what was the moon called in the Pasuk? The Mor HaKatan. Ah, that's a tribute to the moon. Chazia Deloka Yaskodate. God still sees that the moon is not mollified. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heviu kapara alai shmiatos yasayarach. He says, I have to have some kind of a kapara because I diminished the moon. What's going to be the kapara? So the Gemara continues. It's not the part that I included for you, but the Gemara then expounds. and talks about the special karbanos for Rosh Chodesh, and that is somehow each month a kapara for God for diminishing, all because the moon made a fatal mistake yet to be learned by millions of people in our history. Don't open your mouth. So the moon opened his mouth, and this is how he got repaid. Now, that's a nice, it's just a nice medrash. You know, you'll want to ask me, this really happened? Is this a historical record? I don't know. What can I tell you? I don't know. I'm not opening my mouth. I'm learning the lesson. But I will point out to you the following. Look at the Eben Ezra. Let's finish up in 2 more minutes. Eben Ezra is unimpressed by any of this, and we're not surprised. Eben Ezra always takes a shot, orientation to the puzzle. So, but yet, there doesn't seem to be any consistency in the puzzle. Eben Ezra translates it more or less the way I read it originally, which is not to be bothered by this. Nikru hashnayim hagedolim. They're both called big in relation to keneged hakochavim, because they're both bigger than the stars. Nikru shloshe b'nei yishai hagedolim keneged acherim. We quote the pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, in which you see sometimes things are referred to as big, not objectively, but relatively. Now, just P.S., I saw something Mepharshim point out, for those astrophysics buffs here, it's not true that the moon is bigger than every star. There are some stars that are huge, right?
I mean it.
But exactly as Ali said, but it means,
as it relates
from our vantage point, right? The moon looks bigger than any star, no matter how many galaxies some star supposedly inhabits, according to some scientists. So, that's the right, basically, it's relatively, they're both big. In other words, saying it's both big. So the sun is a little bit bigger and the moon is a little bit smaller, but they're both very big. So just to conclude, a defense of the drash, a defense of Rashi, who doesn't take this commonsensical reading of the pasuk, so the Maharal in the Gur Aryeh has the following defense. He quotes, although it's interesting, the way he quotes Eben Ezra is not exactly the way we have to Eben Ezra. I looked and looked, maybe there's some other Eben Ezra in a different pasuk, but I couldn't find it. But you'll see if you take a look on the second line, his Eben Ezra question is not exactly the way we had it, but Nunu ultimately says the Maharal, I'll paraphrase outside, what's his answer? That you can't say that they meant, that the pasuk meant that they were relatively different. And again, it was just, let me clarify one more time. There's a fundamental debate here. Before we get lost, and I myself admit it, I was taken in by the charm of that Gemara we just read with the debate. Bottom line, but thinking about it much more specifically now. According to the Chazal, according to Rashi, who quoted it, when the original act of creation happened, what was the size of the moon? According to the Eben Ezra, it was never the same size. It's always smaller as it is now. It just meant that it was proportionally still bigger than the stars, still big. That's a debate. That's a major debate. Leave aside the story with the moon and the God arguing back and forth. Bottom line, there's a debate. Was the moon originally created the size it is now? Or according to Rashi and the Gemara, no, it was originally created in a bigger size. Says the Maharal, you want to know why we have to come on to the Gemara that says the moon was originally created the same size? Because if you assume that the moon was created originally the same size it is now, that means that they were created differently, very differently. But the way he reads the pasuk, he says, it implies that they were both the same size. And more than that, he says, in general, the Torah never lists two things that are so different as created at the same time. This is the part that I've underlined here. The Torah does not give in the same creation, you know, sentence things that were created that are so different from each other. And therefore, if this size difference really existed originally, he suggests, then the sun and the moon wouldn't have been created at the same time, or they wouldn't have been told to us at the same time. The fact that the Torah gives them to us as a unit, he says that lends support to this admitted drash that really they were originally created exactly the same, hence the Torah describes them as created at the same time, and only subsequently after the moon opened up his big mouth, that it eventually got diminished, and that is again how we understand the flow of the puzzle. Any questions? Any confusion? Again, this should not be a frustrating confusion, this should be a humbling confusion. There's a difference. Okay, so we're almost done. We're really only a few shurim away from getting to the part which I have to tell you, as much as I'm learning from this, but I myself am looking forward to even more, which is getting to the Adam and Chava, and, you know, because after all, since we all understand this, we'll certainly understand a walking, talking snake.